The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
As we get updates for our friends and loved ones and fellow Americans and Tony Bruno and Miss Robin in on the Gulf side, the west side of Florida. So my poll question, I never do this, is should Tony and Miss Robin evacuate their evacuation zone?
Get out!
Please, 855-839-1210, and put it on social media, and please advise. I'm so worried. I can't even tell you. I was in the hallway. I was like, oh, my goodness. So this thing is only 2 miles below. It was a Category 5 until within the last, you know, hour or so, and now it's only diminished about 2 miles an hour before striking the Gulf Coast of Florida. So we'll continue to update. But that is a scary thing as you look at the path, and it's a pretty wide path. The bottom, in other words, the southernmost point of it is Cape Coral, where Tony and Miss Robin are. And then the north, it's going to encompass, obviously, Tampa, the metro Tampa area. And so the immediate threat is at least 9 million people. So, my goodness. I can't wait for this interview with Eric Trump, who's going to join me live in half an hour at 10:30. So you want to make sure you hear that. And I do want to talk about and address some of these stories that we're hearing. I know we touched upon them, but, you know, Bob Woodward selling another book. And this is somebody who is famous, obviously, for the Watergate scandal and his deep throat source. And ultimately, you know, this guy, he's been trying to oust Republican presidents his entire career, you might say, if you look back and think about it.
Yeah.
But he claims to have a source that he's not naming, to my knowledge, one source who's allegedly a former aide within the Trump administration. I don't know if this is somebody who has, again, hearsay or what, but claims that that former President Trump during the COVID pandemic was sending, I guess, what, mailing, as if Trump would, what would he do? How would he, I'm just trying to picture this, like, excuse me, I have to go to FedEx. And I'm, how does that look? Like, you have the COVID test and now you are putting it in an envelope, like a FedEx envelope, and, you know, from America to Russia with love. How does that work? So I guess the Kremlin has, the top spokesperson has said that they absolutely, the Trump and Putin, since Trump is out of office, have never had any conversations, saying that that is a lie. They did say, and I'm quoting, this was a statement to Bloomberg in particular, quote, that they received or that they sent, they said that they sent equipment at the beginning of the pandemic. So saying they sent, meaning somebody from the Trump administration sent, quote unquote, equipment. So that, to me, I don't know exactly what that looks like. So the Kremlin's top spokesperson has said on one hand that's a lie, that Woodward would say that they ever had any phone conversations post Trump presidency. But they do say that some kind of equipment at the beginning of the pandemic was sent to the Kremlin. That's all I have on that one. So we do have some reaction to that, but not really any specifics. So we'll look at that one. It's just somebody, again, right before an election, trying to profit off of, you know, making sure that their book is a bestseller and they get their bonus and they make millions.
Even Reddit, far-left Reddit, was annoyed with it because they were saying, why would Woodward wait? Why would he sit on this information until it's valuable
to sell
a book? You know, yeah. And he had this, and they were saying, oh, they should have done it when it mattered a couple of years ago and people would have listened. But now it doesn't matter. He's just trying to sell books. It's ridiculous. I just got a question for you as a journalist yourself, as someone who's spent a ton of time in media, a lot today about, you know, it's an unnamed source, so how can we believe it? But a lot of journalistic integrity comes down to when you have a source, you don't want to reveal said source. So where do you stand in today's world, social media environment, and you have a report like this? If you're Woodward and you're sitting in a situation, what would you do?
I would want to track down records because, again, the president of the United States of America is not doing what we all do. Right. Which is we get the envelope. What, you know, right. We get it. I don't even know. How do you send a how do you send something to Russia because it's international? You have to have the international address.
My assumption would be is that he found a cargo jet using the military and loaded it with boxes of supplies, pallets, and did a pallet kind of drop off over there.
Right, so what you're saying makes a lot of sense. And so there would be, you would have a ton of records of that. There would be, right, because you're somehow shipping it to somebody.
Is the current way you're, like what you're saying, it's like he's in a dark room in the back, licking envelopes, sending them without anybody knowing, and using the U.S. Postal Service. And yeah, so there's got to be some record somewhere.
Yeah. And so that's, with all of this, there, and even with Putin, so that's my question. How did he carry that out? And more about the sourcing. And so, look, I can claim anything. I can claim any source. And people love, especially in D.C., they love to impress. You know, I got to meet with Bob Woodward, and we went to whatever restaurant, right? And so that's impressive. So will this source come forward? Will this source be named? Apparently, this is an unnamed source. And so if you have something like that, what you have to do is the rule is you have three sources. If you're going to, so you need somebody to corroborate something. But in this case, I would not even, there's so many Never Trumpers and Trump haters around. I mean, think of Vindman, who's now, you know, they're running for office, and you see that they're totally swampsters and Democrat operatives. And so to be a credible journalist, what you would want to do is track down records.
Yeah.
So if somebody slips something on the, and Dan Borowski nailed it, there's got it. What FedEx plane or cargo plane? How did this go out? Because there's a record somewhere. So that's the tangible evidence that you would want.
All we have here is a potential forlorn employee who was fired. Maybe I don't know who. But yeah, that's exactly what it is. Oh, I hate that guy. He's such a horrible person. That one time he sent those COVID tests over to Putin. He's such a Vlad, so much in Vlad's pocket. Like, we don't know how it was said. It could have been said in jest, even. So you have one source, allegedly, here. So yes, give me a paper trail. Show me some kind of evidence here. And you know what? Then I'll buy it.
But guess what? Off the top, what are we talking about? Bob Woodward's new book, which I would never buy.
Oh, you're right.
But he lives off of his work in the 1970s. That's it. The veteran, every story starts out with the award-winning veteran Watergate reporter, Bob Woodward, .. And so this is somebody who, you know, continues to sell books and get rich off of it. But they're saying that Trump secretly sent coveted COVID-19 testing machines. What does that mean? Testing machines to Putin for personal use when they were in short supply. And this is by all accounts being dismissed and refuted by the Trump campaign. But his book is entitled War, and it includes the claim that then President Trump was secretly staying in touch with Pooty. Hey, how does that sound? Hey, Pooty, it's me. I'm calling you from the closet. You know, it's just like, really? So, and there are a lot of former disgruntled employees. There was a climate, because remember, everybody said, oh, Trump is done. He's done. He's washed up. He's never coming back. That was widely what everybody said. And so all these different people now, they can go to the cocktail party, right, where everybody wears their black turtleneck and their jacket, and they all go, oh, yeah, I used to work for, I can't believe I worked for that administration. And they're all trying to top each other in their stories, right? And so this is, oh, isn't this, oh, yeah, well, I heard he was sending Putin some COVID tests when they were coveted. Oh, yeah, well, I heard... ..
So, in her long media blitz yesterday, Kamala Harris, appearing on The View, Howard Stern, Stephen Colbert, was asked about it. Here's her response in Stern, Dawn.
In the height of the pandemic, and remember, and your listeners will remember, people were dying by the hundreds.
Yeah.
Everybody was scrambling to get these kits, the tests, the COVID test kits.
You couldn't get them.
Couldn't get them.
Right.
Couldn't get them anywhere.
Right.
And this guy who is president of the United States is sending them to Russia, to a murderous dictator for his personal use? You're getting played. And some would say, look, I grew up in the neighborhood. Some would say you're getting punked.
Yeah.
If you stand in favor of somebody who's an adversary over your friends.
Yeah, so what was she doing during the COVID pandemic? The Democrats locked us down and locked and ordered people who were sick with COVID to go into nursing homes, killing thousands. And those were our high death tolls that happened here in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York. Where are those investigations? So if you want to talk about COVID, okay, let's open that. Let's open that back up. Let's revisit it. Let's investigate everything that happened, including those arbitrary lockdowns that have essentially teed off a mental health crisis with our children. My kids were in grade school. They were, thankfully, the nuns found every way to bring them back in person. But because we're in Philadelphia, they were locking our children out of classrooms. And we still see the catastrophic impact of that. If you want to know what leadership looks like, I'm looking up right now. I don't know if you want to take a nanosecond of this, because I do want to get to Melania Trump speaking live on The Five on Fox yesterday.
Yeah, let's hit this live, then hit a break, and we'll get to Melania.
11 and 5. We didn't have any real surprises.
Oh, that's not what, okay. So let me see that.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. So I see that Governor DeSantis is saying that he wants to keep, you know, keep the energy coming, keep people
in power. Those linemen are being brought in from places as far away as California. So as soon as that storm passes, you're going to see the assessments and the power restoration efforts commence immediately. Additionally, the state of Florida has assisted with the evacuation of 352 healthcare facilities in the potential path of the storm. 16 hospitals have been evacuated. The state veteran nursing homes are currently located that are in the cone are all accepting families of their residents to shelter with them. All of those are hurricane proof. All of them are outside of flood zones. So if you do have a family member that's in one of our state nursing homes, you can go and you can shelter with them. That's a safe option, and I know the veterans would appreciate
that's
it.
That's pretty awesome.
The Florida Department of Law Enforcement is directing deployment of additional 500 out-of-state law enforcement officers. These officers will help respond after the storm to maintain law and order. And there is going to be a lot of damage from this storm. There's going to be opportunities for people to try to take advantage of that. My message to you is don't even think about it. We are going to come down hard on you. You are not going to be, you're going to regret that you tried to do that. So I appreciate all the other folks from out of state who are coming in to supplement this effort. We need to maintain law and order. FDLE's mutual aid team is managing more than 70 active law enforcement missions, including identifying post-storm response squads. And these are really important missions, and we're happy for that. So we're preparing for Milton, but we're also still recovering from Hurricane Helene. When Hurricane Helene hit, we reactivated the Florida Disaster Fund. We are now accepting donations into the Florida Disaster Fund for both storms, both Helene and for Milton. This is a private fund. It's affiliated with the state in terms of disaster, but it's tax deductible donations. We distributed $63 million after Hurricane Ian to help people largely in Southwest Florida. This is something that is really, really important. So I've directed Volunteer Florida to keep the fund activated for Hurricane Milton. I want to thank, there's already been millions raised for Helene. I want to thank Lennar, Wells Fargo, Walmart, and Publix for making really significant donations. And I know there's going to be a lot more that are going to want to do it.
Yeah, it's nice to hear Florida Governor Ron DeSantis talking about how they prepared, thanking those who've donated to help people, and as well then what is the plan moving forward.
So we
and that's what leadership looks like.
So head over to youtube.com/@1210WPHD. Please go like and subscribe. Currently have a poll going, as you requested there, Dawn.
Thank you.
If you were listening to Kale this morning, should Tony evacuate? 78% say yes so
yes,
far.
Yes, please. And put it out. Let's put this out on social media and try to even appeal to Tony and Miss Robbins, to the kids, the grown-up kids, to say, get out now, please.
Please.
You're not a hero. And they're smart. I think that they were leaning toward it.
Yeah.
So they have until 1 o'clock. That's when they said they're going to make their decision. But I'm just praying for everybody down there. We'll have all of the updates, obviously, throughout the day, throughout the evening. Want to get to Melania Trump. And then Eric Trump will join us live at 10:30.
Would you have married Donald Trump if you had a crystal ball that said he would be president?
Huh, that's a interesting question.
By the way, does he ever sleep?
Yes. He doesn't sleep much. He does, of course.
Does he wear pajamas?
No.
Oh. No.
No.
What does he wear when he sleeps, okay. Melania?
Well, one of the things she does get into in the book, Greg, since I've read it and you haven't, obviously, the first date.
Yes.
And how he courted you, and that courtship was very special. These are just many of the things you reveal in the book.
So Melania Trump, looking fabulous, was on The Five, and I will say, I always, you know, I do watch The Five. I'm listening to Zeolia, I swear. And so it was great, though. It was great stuff. So I was trying to, and then I was driving to the great event in Media Delco, packed event.
Wait, hold on. So paint a picture for me. You're listening to Zeoli. Do you have The Five on the phone? And
yes, yeah, so I have The Five. You know, I have all of it.
Impressive.
So I'm listening to Zeoli, and he too acknowledged on the air because I had tweeted all of that out, put all that out. So then he, you know, he said, "Okay, thanks, Dawn, for listening to me while you're watching The Five," and it was kind of cute.
Aww.
And what I didn't tweet out was as I was driving, Zeoli was talking. I see this rainbow. It's like, ha-ha, for Zeoli, so I should have done that. But great event, and everybody at the event heard Zeoli talking about it,
too. I just want to take people behind the scenes. Your relationship with Rich is just absolutely phenomenal.
Oh,
Rich comes in, just says such great things about you, and it's wonderful that even though you guys don't work together on a daily basis, you guys still have such care for one another.
Yeah, no, I love him. He's like a brother to me, and so... And I always say I'm still Zeoli's Padawan. I still am learning because obviously this was a big career change for me. He and Greg were the ones like, come on. And he was like, you know, emailing me back and forth. Come on, what are you doing? You got to, you know, because they didn't have a news person. It was a created position for Zeoli. He was on the afternoons with Greg. So they created that position for me. And that was pretty cool. But it was a huge transition. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. But no, he's obviously, he's like so funny and yeah, my own transition, but no, we do. I love him and keep in touch. And
you're
I heard him say,
host.
I know, right? I'm a trans radio host. Yeah, that's it. But no, I do love him. I heard him talking about Bridget. I can't wait to see Bridget's new teeth. I'm sure she didn't appreciate. I don't know if she likes. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Sometimes you can't help it when you're on the air so many hours and you say stuff and then you're. Better half is like, really?
Yeah.
You and you forget, like, I said that?
It's like the credit card comment yesterday with Larry.
<Yeah. laughs> What? What?
What comment was that?
So there's a lot about Melania, and obviously they weren't, unlike The View with the Vice President of the United States of America, you can tell that Gutfeld, this is off the cuff. Does he wear pajama? Great question, by the way. Gutfeld has great questions.
Is that a great image to paint, though? You know, Trump, because when he asks, what does he wear, Melania just shows, it's a video thing where she just does the zipper mouth kind of thing.
I know. It's like, no, don't. But then that, so the fact that he doesn't, you know, because there was no follow-up there, they shut him up before he, because, you know, does he, BVDs, boxers, in the nude? Like, what?
I think in the nude.
I think that's what I inferred. So that's.
I apologize, Melania.
You know, what if they. Well, anyway. you know, Barron Trump, the love of her life. And by the way, she's an empty nester mom right now, right? Because the focus of her life, like we've talked a lot about that, empty nesters, but her son, who's a teenager, she's probably worried sick, and he's at NYU. So I know she feels. Like, well, they have a place. They still have a place in New York, obviously, in Trump Tower. So they, you know, they can go anytime. But still, I mean, come on. That's your baby, right?
Is he living on campus, do you know? Or is he living up at the tower?
Oh, that's a good question. I cannot imagine Secret Service would allow him. What, is he going to be like in the dorm?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With like the little mini fridge. You know what I mean? I don't think so. I think that was probably a stipulation, especially after Butler, Pennsylvania,
right? There's a show on Netflix called The Night Agent, where one of the Secret Service agents protects a vice presidential candidate's daughter at college, and it's kind of that situation where she's in a dorm, and they have to stand outside the dorm room when she changes and stuff. And
watched that. Luckily, this is not, you know, in that one, she's kind of woke, and it's kind of crazy.
If you're wondering, here's how Barron's doing, Dawn.
My question, how's Barron doing at NYU?
He's doing great. He loves his classes and his professors. He's doing well. He's thriving, and he's enjoying to be in New York City again.
Yeah, so remember, he pretty much grew up between the White House and New York City. What an awesome life. And Trump had told us here when we interviewed him, that was Nick Hale's question about Barron, and you know that he's 18. He had just turned 18 last spring. So thinking about what an incredible life this kid, great student, and loves these streamers that are conservative. That's what we learned about him, influencing dad on the election. These are smart, you know, smart kids. What else have you got on Melania?
Yeah, so talking about Eric coming up and influencing dad, and I'm curious where he was during the assassination attempt, but just right to the point, Jeanine Pirro asked whether or not Melania is concerned for the safety of her husband with these, you know, lead up to the election. Take a listen.
Has survived two assassination attempts. And Kamala's camp has just issued yesterday that they're going to go more negative. The Biden-Harris team continues with the negative rhetoric, you know, whether it's Hitler or, you know, he's tearing down democracy. Are you worried about your husband's safety in the next 29 days?
Of course I do. Yes, I do. I think, you know, when they call him, he's a threat to democracy. Let's ask ourselves, who is really a threat to democracy? They are ongoing with the lawfare against the former president, as well as, you know, trying to get him off the voting ballots and trying to, you know, silence him. So, yes, of course, I was always afraid what can happen, and that they continuing with that kind of language is just it's a toxic atmosphere.
So there you have the former First Lady of the United States of America, and it's really off the cuff. I would love to see the Vice President of the United States in an environment like that, surrounded by, you know, by the way, news people, most of them, well, Judge Jeanine was a judge, obviously, and prosecutor, but these are smart individuals asking legit questions, and clearly nothing was script, and it was all live. It was a great interview, and it was interesting and compelling. I'm sure the ratings are huge. But I just wonder what your take is as far as her book. And by the way, they've said she could write whatever she wanted to and that she's an independent thinker, clearly. So your thoughts on Melania Trump? I mean, I think she's such a beautiful, great, you know that I'm a huge fan of hers. Beautiful, gracious, former First Lady. And when she stepped on that stage at the RNC right after Butler, right after the assassination attempt, when our president, former president, was shot, you just knew, okay, everything's okay. You saw that smile and she took his hand. But it was a moment, right, where people were getting a little verklempt, as I say. So we have to get to Eric Trump is going to be here in just a few minutes. Excited to hear his, you know, his stories of, you know, returning to Butler and then beyond. Let's talk about the Piazza Auto Group and Piazza Premium Automobiles, because I know this weekend we'll be doing some road trips, football season, tailgating. But if you're planning that fall trip, maybe to see the beautiful change of the fall leaves, and maybe you want to make sure that your vehicle's road trip ready, my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're going to help you make sure you and your family are safe out on the road. So important. These service centers of the Piazza Premium dealers not only handle all your regular maintenance needs, but they will diagnose possible issues before they can happen, before you hit the road. So just schedule your service appointment online today. Do this. Visit PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com for that dealer nearest you, and they're across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. PIAZZA. PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell them Dawn sent you. Lee Greenwood, God bless the USA. What an emotional moment for the return to Butler, Pennsylvania, and to celebrate the life of hero firefighter who was killed that day. Corey Comparator, his widow there, his daughters, his family, and as well, what a beautiful tribute from former President Donald J. Trump on the stage returning. It was a triumphant return and so much energy and so much love. I was at a great event last night in media in Delaware County. Everybody was talking about it. I'm just really delighted to bring in live Eric Trump, I want to, first of all, welcome you to the Dawn Show, Eric. And I know that your dad is here in Pennsylvania once again campaigning here in PA.
Yeah, well, thanks, Don. It's an honor to be here. And you're right, Butler was absolutely incredible. I spoke at that rally. It's something I really want to do, obviously, you know, seeing your father get shot on a stage. And, you know, and then returning, you know, I was with Corey's family, I was with his wife, I was with his daughter, his beautiful daughters. And it was just an emotional day. But I've never seen so much love in that crowd. I mean, I got up on that stage for Laura, and I couldn't see the end of the crowd. There must have been over 100,000 people there. I mean, I literally couldn't see the end of the crowd, and it was so beautiful, and so much love, and so much respect and gratitude for our country. It was just a truly beautiful day, as sad as it was, obviously, given what happened to Corey and really what happened to our nation that day.
Yeah, it's true. And I think it was healing for people. You think about fight, 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 and returning to the scene of the crime, literally. I know that, and speaking of which, there's no slowdown with your family, with your dad. So today in Pennsylvania, Scranton, 3 p.m., Reading, 7 p.m. for a big rally. You know, I have to ask you, you know, after witnessing that, I mean, your dad, that was, there have been two assassination attempts. He was shot that day. Just, you know, every time there's this one of these rallies, and this was in Pennsylvania, is there a fear, a prayer, and for your wife who's out there front and center, your family?
Yeah. Listen, we all have threats against us right now. I think my father's been, you know, it's not something normally I talk about or anybody talks about, but my father kind of mentioned it the other day on, you know, X. He wrote a long thing. I mean, there are countries that are trying to get him, you know, and there are people that are trying to get him. I mean, you saw two in a 6-week period of time. It's unthinkable. It's absolutely unthinkable. And yeah, it breaks my heart as a son, right? I mean, I had a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, my son and daughter sitting on my lap watching their grandfather on a, you know, beautiful Saturday afternoon, you know, beautiful day in Pennsylvania that day. And all of a sudden you see, you know, blood streaming down his face and he's on the ground and Secret Service agents are all over him. He's in a dark suit. You didn't know if he got hit in the torso. You didn't know if, you know, he was dead. You know, it's not something that anybody wants to go through. And, you know, it's not just me as a son. You know, it's an entire country, a country that absolutely loves a man and adores a man and a man that never stops fighting. And, you know, Don, when he stood up and did the whole fight, 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 you know, that was one of the most incredible scenes of my life and maybe of United States political history. But I think you're right. I think you just said a word that I'm not sure if I've heard anybody say yet, which was healing. I think going back to Butler really was healing. And I think that's why you had 100,000+ people who showed up that day. It was healing. It was healing for the nation. It was probably healing for him. It was, I'm not sure if anything could heal Corey's family, who we've gotten to know so well, but I can tell you how appreciative that they were, and certainly how much it meant to, you know, them, the way, you know, he was honored that day, and so it was beautiful, despite obviously, you know, the tragedy of the day.
In a moment, I do want to ask you about, you know, his political opponent, who's also running for president, and her reaction, but I just want to ask you a timeline question, Eric, and that is a timeline that people don't talk about often. That is that before July 13th, 2024, I'll take you to July 14th, 2022. A lot of people forget what you have been through personally, your children, your family, with the tragic death of your beautiful mother, Ivana Trump, who I had the blessing of interviewing early in my career, actually, during one of her book tours. What a gracious, beautiful, brilliant businesswoman. I'm so sorry for your loss, and to have that happen.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness, 2 years. You know, I can't. I just thought when that happened, July 13th, I was praying for your family. I thought, my God, you know, the Trump family. You know, you just lost your mom almost to the day 2 years prior to July 13th, 2024. You know, just thinking about what you've been through.
It was virtually the same day. It was virtually the same day, as you said, 2 years apart. And there's no question that she was looking down. It's amazing. They had a beautiful relationship. And Don, it's another beautiful question, because, you know, rarely do people ask this, but, you know, it's so rare in life that you see two people who got divorced, you know, a long time ago, and just maintain an absolute love and affinity for one another. And that was my mother and my father. I mean, my mom adored, I mean, absolutely adored, you know, my father, all the way through. And I mean, when you really hear of that happen, most of the time it's the exact opposite. They detest, right? And And I thought it was such a beautiful thing. He was there for her in so many, you know, moments where she needed it. And, you know, and she was there for him in so many. And they goaded her. I mean, Don, they goaded her. You'd have CNN on her doorstep every single night. Please say something bad about Donald Trump. Please, we'll give you the mic. We'll give you this. We'll give you that. And every single time she'd come out and say, hey, it might not have worked out on the husband-wife front, but that man will be a damn good president. You watch. You mark my words. And she would say it with that, you know, unbelievable, beautiful accent that she had that everybody probably remembers from, you know, the First Wives Club. And it was just, you know, she's a remarkable woman. But listen, I think she'd be more proud of him now than ever before. And I think she is looking down right now. I mean, we have a country that has serious problems. We have a country that has serious problems. I mean, Kamala 2 days ago came out and said, you know, all the residents in North Carolina who were affected by the storm are going to get $750. I mean, $750, Don. Their entire houses, you know, their houses were washed down rivers. Their homes were taken out by mudslides. Every belonging that they had ever known, every item, every teddy bear that their kid had. Yeah. Gone in half a second. Kamala comes out and says, "You get $750," and you know. Yet we give $200 billion to Ukraine. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. We give hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars to countries all around the world, countries that detest us. We gave $150 billion to Iran. Obama did, a country that literally chants death to America and is launching missiles every single day at our greatest ally. And yet, you know, Kamala comes out and says, "Yes, I'd like to give $750 to." You know, the family who just lost everything, lost their cars, lost their home, lost their belongings, everything. I mean, the TV in their house is worth more than that. And, you know, we have a country that's totally unaffordable. Everything's unaffordable. Car insurance, mortgage rates. I mean, mortgage rates under my father were 2.5%. Look at them now. They're 8%. I mean, rent in this country is absolutely unaffordable. Property insurance, groceries, you know, utility bills. I mean, 25% of the country are laid on their electrical bill right now. I mean, think about this. This is the United States of America. This should not be happening. And nothing's going well in this country. The Middle East is a hornet's nest. There were no wars there when my father was in. He stopped all of them. You know, Russia and Ukraine, that situation is totally out of control. China is more emboldened right now than it's ever been before. You have 20 million illegal immigrants that have come into our country. You have 320,000 children this year who have died of fentanyl poisoning alone. I mean, died of fentanyl poisoning. They touch something, they eat something, you know, maybe they're, you know, they do some recreational drug, not thinking that it's going to kill them. And all of a sudden they're dead. They're dead. I mean, I've personally lost, you know, four friends of mine have lost children to the fentanyl overdoses. And you don't even hear about it.
No.
You know, you have Biden that's sleeping on a beach, getting a suntan on a Monday. I mean, it's like the weakest look ever. You have Kamala, who her last interview was with Call Her Daddy. I mean, God bless. I'm all for comedy, but it feels like an awfully kind of poor time to be comedic right now. Just nothing's working in this country, and everybody feels that way. Everybody feels that life is unaffordable. Everybody feels that America is being put last. You look at Aurora, Colorado, where Venezuelan gang members are taking over low-income housing using AK-47s. You look at our educational system in this country, which is ranked 30th in the world. I mean, how in the world is education in the United States of America 30th in the world? It should be first in the world. We're the United States of America. We should be the best at everything we do. And yet we're 30th in the world in terms of education, you know, our kids. You know, our First Amendment is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. Religious liberty, which is so crucial. We need more religion in society. That's under attack. Our Second Amendment is under attack. Our entire Constitution way of life is under attack. I mean, it's just hard to believe that America could be in the spot that it's in right now. And, you know, that's why the next 4 weeks matter so much. And frankly, it's why a state that I love, Pennsylvania, obviously where you are right now.
Yes.
I went to school. I lived in Pennsylvania for 5 years. Yeah. I know the state extremely well. In fact, my father's going to Reading today. I grew up in Pottstown, which is, you know, my first girlfriend went to Reading Central Catholic of all places. And it's a state that I know extremely well. It's a state that I love, probably more dear friends from Pennsylvania than any state in the country. And at the same time, we win Pennsylvania. I truly believe we win the nation, and people have to get out. And if you're sick and tired of the nonsense, please get out and vote. I mean, please, please, please get out and vote. I mean,
SwampTheVote.com.
It's tight.
Yeah, my, I will say my teenage son, we beat the Hill School because we're in the Interact League.
Oh,
so
no.
We did. Yeah, sorry.
Wow,
did you say Buckley?
What's that?
Where do you go to school?
No, he goes. My son goes to Germantown Academy, but Hill School is
Germantown and a lot of sports.
Yeah, so.
Wow,
shots fired here. Well, Hill was a great place, and Pottstown was a lot of great memories from Pottstown.
Yeah, so
a lot of great memories,
and I know you have a lot of great memories too. And your wife Laura, a native of North Carolina, when I look at the aftermath of the storm there, when you're talking about it, even yesterday, I think it was President Joe Biden was asked about it, and he admitted that there was unfortunately a slow start. That's how he referred to FEMA. What's as far as efforts there and now with Milton? And thinking about leadership, Ron DeSantis has been praised. You know, you and your wife, I know you've been traveling through South Carolina, North Carolina. Do you have any personal, as far as being on the ground and what you've seen, what you can report to us, is how that recovery effort is going?
Well, my wife just left North Carolina, a day ago, and she's talking to people, and they're not seeing help. I mean, they just weren't seeing help. I mean, now help is starting to show up, but... Yeah. You know, it's amazing. You know, starting at Katrina, you had this whole concept of the Cajun Navy. Do you remember this? Where, you know, effectively you just had, you know, incredible men, women, you know, they hopped in their, you know, boats, their duck boats, their bass boats, their, you know, whatever they had, their big trucks, and they grabbed chainsaws and they grabbed aids and they grabbed pallets of water and they went and they distributed and they searched houses and waiters and everything else. And they kind of took matters into their own hand. And you're seeing that in North Carolina as well. But it's infuriating. I mean, you have FEMA. You know, Mayorkas comes out 2 days ago and says that FEMA's out of money. And I'm sitting there, and I don't think there's ever been a comment that's made me more upset. We sent $200 billion over to Ukraine so young, innocent kids on both sides of a conflict can shoot at each other at point-blank ranges in trenches. I mean, I know how much time I put into my children and educating them and teaching them manners and teaching them how to say please and thank you and opening doors and every lesson you taught them is expunged in 1/1000th of a second for millions of families, right? Yeah. I mean, they'd be in the conflict, so millions of families. And we've put $200 billion into this war, and yet FEMA runs out of money? How in the hell is that even possible? I mean, the fact that FEMA, and by the way, Florida is about to get hit by a Category 5 in a major city in Tampa. Tonight, I'm in the path of this storm right now as we speak. How in the world do we not have like a reserve war chest of, you know, $10 billion, $20 billion are sitting there in the event of these catastrophes so we can go in, sweep in and take care of the problem? And the answer to that, Don, is because we waste money on everything around the world. Again, Iran chants death to America and we send them $150 billion under Obama. We've lost our damn minds. We give Pakistan hundreds of millions of dollars a year, and they won't tell us that they're housing bin Laden, you know, 10 years ago. I mean, what is it with America putting ourselves last? And you know, sometimes my father gets criticized for this kind of, you know, he always says America first. And why can't we put America first? Why can't we put North Carolina first? Why can't we put Pennsylvania first? Pennsylvania's had plenty of problems in terms of flooding and disaster. Why can't we put states like this first? Why can't we put an educational system that's ranked 30th in the world? Why can't we put that first and fix that problem? And God bless, I want to be charitable to everybody, but there's never anyone to help us. I mean, Tampa will get, you know, really hurt tonight based on this awful storm that everybody's watching, Category 5, which is going to hit a city. Do you think anybody else, do you think Pakistan, do you think Iran is coming out and saying, you know, we'd like to contribute to you, you know, so sorry you just got hit by a storm? No. They don't do a damn thing. At what point do we put ourselves first? And the fact that FEMA could possibly run out of money, the fact that somebody's home can wash down a river and Kamala come out and say, we'd like to give you $750 as you know, compensation for the fact that you lost every hope and dream and the white picket fence and you know, everything that you've ever saved for and built in your life. It's so insulting to me. And it has to end. It has to end. And the only way we do that is getting somebody that just can utilize a little common sense, because that's all we need. We need people who can enact common sense, and we don't have that right now.
Yeah, and people need to pay attention and do their homework. So, Eric Trump, I hope you come back. I hope next time you're in town we can meet, talk a little more football or sports with your teenage days here in this area. But what a pleasure and an honor to talk to you today. Eric Trump, thank you so much.
Don, it's a great honor to be on.
Oh, thank you, and God bless your family. We're all everybody's praying for you. I was just in an event last night. I cannot exaggerate that, how many people talk about
keep praying. Hey, we need all the prayers we can get. Well, believe me, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God and somebody looking down. Believe me, I say that with every ounce of my soul. So keep praying, and we appreciate those prayers, and we're going to pray for this nation, and we're going to work every second of the next 28 days to save this country. I promise you, every second of my life over the next 28 days is going to be working on saving this country. So we appreciate you very much.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate you. Take care. So your thoughts, if you have any reaction, 855-839-1210, the number to call. A guy who I've never met in person and never talked to him, my first takeaway is, very conversational. We found the same thing, Dan, when we were backstage with Don Jr.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We just started talking about life,
I think it's a testament to their father that he's able to, in an environment where, we're being honest, they're raised with golden spoons in their mouth, raise such down-to-earth children, both Don Trump Jr. backstage. I mean, we're just having casual conversations. Yeah. He's hopping in. He's sitting there joining us. And then you hear Eric there, and just a fabulous interview there, Don. I really liked delving into, his family and where they were at with the assassination, and especially the question about the mother. And I'm in conservative radio. I hadn't known that it was the 2-year anniversary of their mother's, passing. So just really good stuff, and really good to hear from Eric.
Yeah, thanks for setting that up, Dan Borowski. And now, one more reason Zioli can go, yeah, Borowski's the best. And then his producer, Matt DeSantis, goes, that's not helpful. Which I love, those two together. He's just busting his chops. It's funny. All right, do we have to take a break?
We do, but you got to tell us about your trip coming up.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say names, but I'm getting texts like, is Romina back? I'm like, yes, Romina is back. I hope you come away with me. Oh my goodness. I can't wait for this. I was looking up all of these northern Italian villages. This is the Italian Riviera. I hope you come to paradise with me again. This is a gastronomical event that only conservative tours can deliver. Limited amount of, places in this. So it's predicted to sell out if the last time around was any indication. But I hope you join me for 11 luxurious days with the professionals from conservative tours. They are the best tour operator in all of Italy. A+ ratings, especially with the BBB, Better Business Bureau. What am I talking about? Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre. $53.78. This includes your airfare. $53.78. Wow. Dining events at the wineries in Tuscany, and even an authentic farm visit to see the Parmesan cheese being crafted by hand. Remember, we did that at the mozzarella farm last time around? So it's a blast to witness this in person, but this is the Parmesan cheese being crafted by hand. Call toll-free 888-733.
Can you clear something up for me?
What?
Does buffalo mozzarella come from buffaloes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and you should see the way that they're treated. So when you go into the buffalo farm, they make you step on things to wash your shoes, and everything has to be sanitary. But these buffaloes are treated better than, they get a spa day every day.
Really?
It's organic. It's amazing. So you learn so much. And then, of course, there's always food at the end, wine at the end. It's amazing. It's so much fun. So toll free, 888-733-9494. You can go to conservativetours.com. If you scroll down, you'll see my picture there. And then you'll see all of these places that we're going to visit together. Some of us, I know we're trying to get together to show some of our videos, so hopefully that becomes a tradition. But you're going to see hidden Italian villages you've never seen, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, and Milan. And then concluding the trip on the Lakes region, which is gorgeous, Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella. So join me. Please do this now. You got to get this on the calendar, conservativetours.com. We're going to go next spring in Italy. See you in Cinque Terre. We'll talk moving forward about all of the campaigning in the area. I had told you earlier, Liz Cheney is among also one of the View hosts will be in Montgomery County. We've mentioned to you Trump campaigning here in PA, multiple stops, concluding with a rally in Reading. And the Supreme Court, upon reconvening, some big rulings there. As far as FEMA funding, I know some of you want to call and talk about the FEMA funding. I you can look at yesterday's show. I did a lot of fact checking on this, and remember that the FEMA funding talking point is coming from something that Mayorkas had said, that because of the budget issues, they got $20 billion extra. He said they need the funding moving forward. Is the government out of money? Obviously not technically out of money. Have they spent a lot of money on these other issues that we've talked about? Yes, that is true. And I can go through it with you. I can send you links if you want that, as far as what that spending entailed, being the crisis with immigrants. It's well over $1 billion, and that from this administration. So we can parse words, but I've done shows on this and meticulously gone through every fact check. So just want to give that out to you, because I know some of you are always concerned that we are factual and that we do our homework. And that's always important. And I appreciate your calls about that, truly. But we have a great interview coming up right around the corner. And speaking of that, we want to go through, as far as October 7th and moving forward, hostages still being held hostage in Gaza, how this impacts the Jewish vote in our region and around America. And then what happened at ABC News? Will this morning anchor be fired after he took on an author with an anti-Israel viewpoint? We'll talk about all of that moving forward. Really appreciate you here. Dawn Stensland, be right back.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.